This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave in for Terry Gross. Ethan Kanan's timely new novel tells the story of two friends who meet during their first semester in college and the betrayals and blessings that strain their friendship in the years after. Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that For Kings and Planets will remind lots of readers why they were relieved to leave their own school days far behind.
Last week, somebody saw me toting around Ethan Kanan's For Kings and Planets and asked whether it was any good or not. "It's a great novel," I said, and I made that pronouncement with such utter Old Testament certitude, my friend would never have suspected that at that point I'd read only about 10 pages of the book. But sometimes you just know. Sometimes there's an unexpectedness of insight, a richness of character and mood so early on that unless a novel's plot runs out of gas, you just know it's going to be great. And there was something else about the beginning of For Kings and Planets that made it immediately irresistible to me. Its nerve. In the first few pages, we're introduced to an earnest young Midwesterner and a charismatic and cultured fellow who meet against the fantastic backdrop of New York City. The narrative voice is retrospective, full of yearning and regret for lost illusions. Sound familiar? Any new novel that has the chutzpah to help itself to the identifying ingredients of The Great Gatsby had better be good. The main character of For Kings and Planets is burdened with the name of Orno Tarcher. He's a Missouri farm boy who applied on the sly to Columbia University and, to his terror, got accepted. When the novel begins in the fall of 1974, Orno and his parents have just pulled onto the West Side Highway after 3 days driving across country. Orno's father hugs the wheel of his Chrysler like a man on a tractor. His mother wears a flowered dress and a Polaroid camera on her shoulder, and all three are agog at the blazing skyscrapers of New York. A few days later, in one of his first lecture classes at Columbia, Orno is daunted by the sea of bodies. 220 downturned heads of hair, 220 notebooks, the frightening obliviousness of other people's hopes. Night after night, Orno, a middling student, sits alone in the library, trying, as the narrator tells us, to defeat panic with diligence. The only buoyant element in Orno's first grim semester is Marshall Emerson, a fellow freshman who already affects the jaded suavity of a George Saunders. Marshall's parents are both professors, and he himself possesses a photographic memory that absolves him from hard study. Because Orno is that rarest of curiosities in New York City, a decent guy who believes his fellow human beings are basically good, Marshall adopts him, taking him along to meetings of an undergraduate literary society where drunken wannabe poets learn to strike poses, and even inviting Orno home to his parents' East Side brownstone for Thanksgiving. After meeting Marshall's father, the renowned Professor Emerson, wide-eyed Orno turns to Marshall's sister and says, "Your father's amazing." "My father works at being amazing," she replies, giving us an early hint that sinister forces are roiling beneath the Emerson's urbane facade. But you'd kind of expect, or at least hope for that. You'd also kind of expect that the mercurial Marshall would combust at some point, and that Orno the hayseed would learn to wear smoking jackets and to become embarrassed by his unsophisticated parents. All of these are predictable developmental stages during college. What a reader doesn't expect, and what helps make For Kings and Planets such a remarkable story, is Orno's gradual recognition of the strengths and beauty of his own ordinariness. Orno is what Nick Carraway might have become had he had the guts to stick it out in New York, get help, and finally grow out of his hero worship of that death-driven golden boy, Gatsby. For Kings and Planets is such an elegant title, you'd anticipate its pages to be full of the stuff that dreams are made of. But instead, Kanan writes a moving romance of the mundane. That gossamer title actually refers to teeth.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.